I don't know if any of you have seen the brochure that we have for Camp Jubilee. If you know anybody that might be interested in going, it's going to be the week of the 4th, and we have some copies here. I think Brenna brought some over, but it's going to be July the 5th through the 9th at the Hall River State Park, so it's going to be right here close by. Maybe some of you can just drop in and see how things go for the week of camp. One of the things that's going to be different is that they're going to provide the meals, and also they're going to clean up for us. So I guess there's not a deal where we have to clean up the cabins and stuff, that they're going to do it, but it's costing us right much more to use this camp than it was the other one. So just pray about our financial situation there. We hope to have 20 to 25 campers, and we'll be using less workers because of the fact that they're fixing the meals and all. One of the things that we did, Camp Jubilee and Mount Jubilee Ministries, we started having these seminars, and the first one we had was here at the Reidsville Bible Chapel, and we had a sign out front, and one lady that came on her own, and she said that she had a son who was autistic. Well, this lady and her sons come into our bakery, and this is one of them. His name is Isaiah Broadnax. And Isaiah calls Loretta Grandma Sweets. And he always comes in and wants to see Grandma Sweets. So he gave her a picture, and she keeps his picture up on the wall. Now, his brother's autistic. Isaiah might be mildly, but not in the same sense. So it could be that two boys in this family are. But, you know, that's a contact that was made from having this seminar here. And this lady just coming because she really wanted help. She needed some answers and needed, and she found out some things about places that she could get help and get information about working with her children. But you can see that she comes in, she really cares about her children and how she really looks after them. I want us to turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Last summer for our three special needs camps, Loretta and I were Moses and Zipporah. And we, for this camp, we were covering the five books of Moses. And so we were taking stories from those five books. And also each chapel, we would end with what happened on that day of creation. Like chapel 1 was the first day of creation. Chapel 2, the second day of creation. And so we had banners along the wall that we would put up for what God created on that day. Well, on the last night of camp, as most camps do, we had a campfire. And Danny Bishop got up at the campfire and had his Bible in his hand, and his brother stood there by him, and he started reading. Well, any of you that know Danny, you can't understand a whole lot of what Danny says. And I didn't understand what he was saying. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking to myself, why don't they just stop him? Why are they letting him keep on? Well, when he finished, his brother said, I want to read the passage that he was reading. It was Psalm 8. And, you know, his mother thought his brother had helped him, and his brother thought his mother had helped him. But, you know, we were talking about creation. Danny picked out Psalm 8 to read at the campfire. Let's just read the passage through, and then we'll look at it. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. As Danny read this, he would come to a word he couldn't say, and his brother would say it. But when he got down here to verse 7, when he came to sheep, he baaed like a sheep. And if you ever spoken at Parkway Chapel in Winston-Salem, if you said sheep, I've said it before, and he'll baa there in the audience when you say it. But I knew there was something about sheep in that passage when he read it through. But our theme verse, we had two verses that we used during those weeks of camp. One of them was Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the other one was Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And sometimes, just in the situation of Danny and other campers that you think it's hard to communicate with them and all, we forget that they were created by God and they were created for him. And you know, the Lord received praise from him when he read that passage. Now, what I would like for us to think about here are four observations about the Lord that we have here in this chapter. And the first thing is his name. We see that in verse 1 and verse 9. You see it's repeated. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Lord, self-existing or eternal, Jehovah. You know, when Peter saw this sheet let down from heaven, and there were all these unclean animals there, and God said, take and eat. And Peter said, and these were his words in Acts 10:14, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Not so, Lord. It doesn't go together. Not so and Lord. When you're saying Lord, you're saying he's my master. He's the one that rules over me. He's the one that's in charge. And to say not so. And yet, many times, we as Christians say, not so, Lord, in various ways. Maybe not the way Peter did, but we say not so. Not willing to do what he wants us to do. In the 23rd Psalm, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. The shepherd, not only did he guide the sheep, but sometimes he had to correct the sheep. Sometimes he had to bring them back into when they wandered off from the fold. The Lord is my shepherd. In Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth, and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My light, my strength, my life. And then in Psalm 18 and verse 2, the Lord is my rock. And notice these, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower, my buckler, my shield, the name of the Lord. O Lord, our Lord. And then it says, excellent. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. In Philippians 2, 5 through 11, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's given him a name that is above every name. It's an excellent name. In Psalm 111 verses 9 and 10, it says, He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And you know, that's the only time that reverend should really be used, referring to the Lord. Holy and reverend is his name. Fearful. We should honor him. We should reverence him. We should respect him in everything that we do in our lives. And then it goes on in verse 10 of Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And then in Isaiah 7 in verse 14. And this is a verse that we use a lot at Christmas time. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now these are the same words that were spoken to Joseph about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ over in Matthew 11 and verse 23. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That excellent name. That name that is above any other name. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. My Wonderful Counselor, his name. Then Matthew 1:21, again words to Joseph, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You can't find a name that is more excellent than that. Jesus. The only, and there were others who had a name or had one that had that meaning, which meant Savior, but no one else who's ever lived completely defined that name, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you can say it's an excellent name. It's a name above all other names. And then in Acts 4:12, it says this. This just really confirms this. Acts 4:12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name under heaven. An excellent name. But then the next observation I want us to make is His glory. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. He set His glory above the heavens. Glory, His grandeur, His beauty, His honor, His majesty. It says in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, The heavens declare the glory of God, And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. Psalm 8 and verse 1 says, His glory has been set above the heavens. William MacDonald says that planets, the stars, that limitless universe give only a partial of how very great God really is. We can look out and we can stand outside and we can look, or we can look through a telescope and see the stars, the planets and all, and they look like little specks up there. But just to think how vast that universe is, and our Lord created all of it. He's above it all. In John 1, in verse 1 and verse 14, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We observed, we saw His glory when He was here on the earth. And then in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, we know that in that sense, the word glory is used of speaking of His righteousness. We come short of His righteousness. His glory. At the wedding in Cana of Galilee that we see recorded in John chapter 2, it says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "This beginning of miracles," He turned the water into wine, "this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him." They believed on Him because He changed water into wine. We believe on Him because He brought life out of deadness. He won the victory over the grave. He won the victory over sin, over an eternity in hell for us. His glory. His name. But then we see His praise in verse 2. "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger." Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. And I thought that was very appropriate when you think about the handicapped camper, special needs camper, reading a passage like this. The New Living Translation reads like this for Psalm 8:2. "You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you." The New International Version says, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. In Matthew 21, we see Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, the week before He was crucified. And in Psalm 21 and verse 16, and the chief priest and the scribes are speaking to Jesus and said unto Him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" They were crying out in Hosanna to the Lord Jesus Christ as He rode into Jerusalem. And the priest, the chief priest and the scribes were criticizing this. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave Him what we see right here in Psalm 8. "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." God is pleased with the praise of those who we might think are maybe unimportant. You know? People would push off to the side. You know, in the history of our country, many people, just like what we have come into these special needs camps, were put off in insane asylums and just left. Nobody working with them, nobody doing anything for them, because they didn't know what to do. And yet this is where God has used these, just like this fella coming in and cheering us up when he comes into the bakery. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want you to look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26, 27, 28, and 29. says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." If any of you ever listened to Back to the Bible broadcast from Lincoln, Nebraska, I remember many years ago listening to this and listening on a Christian station, and you could tell their music from any other. If I heard the music and I heard the singing, I would know it was Back to the Bible broadcast. And the man who was in charge of their music program on that broadcast, name was Eugene Clark. And one of the hymns in your hymn book was written by him. "Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God." He had rheumatoid arthritis. He was bedridden. And he led this music and planned the music program from his bed. And in that condition, he wrote, "Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God." You know, God wants to use anyone who's available. He's not necessarily looking for the smartest and the brightest and the degreed person. He's looking for those who are willing to let Him work through them. And you might think that you have no abilities. And you might think that campers at a handicapped camp might not have very many abilities. But I've told them in the past, I said, you know, and there's some that come to the, especially at the camp in Kentucky, there's one boy that stays on the computer all the time and he's always sending messages to everybody. I said, that's an opportunity right there. That person can witness to people all over the world and sit right there by his computer in his wheelchair. This fella has polio and has to be carried when he has to be lifted up out of his wheelchair and set into a vehicle to take him to camp. And so God wants to use anybody that's available, and He will. And we have testimony to that for someone like Eugene Clark. But we have testimony to it through all the Scriptures. What was it that they said about the disciples? They were unlearned and ignorant men. That's what the people said about them. And look what happened. They turned the world upside down for the Lord. His name, His glory, His praise. He wants to hear our praise. When we come together on the Lord's Day to remember Him, He wants to hear our praise. He is pleased with our praise. And we might not sound so wonderful in our singing, and we might have great singing ability, but the Lord accepts that. And He is blessed by our singing and our praise in Him. But then we have His creation in verses 3 through 8, the majority of this passage. "When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon, the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man? Thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that Thou visitest him." The heavens. We quoted it from Psalm 19, 1 through 3. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." And it talks about how that creation of God, the heavens, is speaking in every language. There's no language barrier. The heavens declare the glory of God. William MacDonald, in his book, Wonders of God, said, "If it cost a penny to travel 1,000 miles, a cruise to the moon would be only $2.38. But if you wanted to go to the sun, the one-way ticket would cost $930. And a trip to the nearest star would be, and he says, hold on to your hat, 260 million dollars to the nearest star. With the naked eye, we can see about 5,000 stars, he says. With a home-style telescope, 2 million come into view. The Hubble telescope enlarges our vision to billions and billions. Sir James Jean said that there are probably as many stars as there are grains of sand on all the beaches of the world. Does it make you think of any passage of Scripture? Like Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17, where the Lord was speaking to Abraham. It says, "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore." William MacDonald goes on to say, "When we look into the heavens at night, we are seeing history, not current events. For example, we see the star Rigel where it was 540 years ago. It has taken that long for its light to reach our planet. The Milky Way contains 300 million suns. Some stars could hold 500 million suns the size of ours. It is estimated that there are some 100 billion galaxies and 100 billion stars in every galaxy. Actually, the size of the universe is beyond human comprehension. And on the second day of creation, God divided the waters from the waters, and He created space. Millions and millions of miles of space was created on that second day. On the fourth day of creation, God created the sun, moon, and the stars, and in the space that He called heaven. And in Genesis 1:16, it says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And listen to this, He made the stars also." That's all we have in Scripture about the creation of the stars. He made the stars also. And it's billions of them out there. And He said more about creating us than He did about those billions and billions of stars and galaxies. The heavens, God created. And then we see it talks about mankind in verses 4 through 8. When we consider the vastness of the universe and the earth as a little speck in that universe, why would our Almighty God, Creator of all things, ever consider sinful man? What is man, it says in verse 4, that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? And we know that when it says man here, it's speaking of human beings. Now, the Son of Man. Other passages of Scripture have spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. It could be referring to Jesus Christ here. There are some who believe that He's saying the same. He's talking about man in both situations. But in Matthew 12, in verse 8, it says, "The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." We are the crowning jewel of God's creation. We are the ones that God planned before He ever created anything. He planned for our salvation. And when we think and just reading this and thinking about the vastness of the universe that God created, and to think that He was concerned about us, and He was thinking about us all the time that He was creating all these things. God created the heavens, and God created mankind. And He created us for a reason. As we saw in Colossians 1:16, all things were created by Him and for Him. We were created to please Him, to live for Him, to serve Him, to tell others about Him. When we talked about some time ago about the missions and biblical missions, and the thought is of how God placed Israel, just a small little nation, in the center of all the nations, for a reason, to be a showcase nation, to be His representatives. And Israel failed. And then He passed that responsibility that He'd given Israel onto the church. And He's given us that responsibility. And we talk about the period that we're living in as being that period that we see in Revelation, the seven churches, the church of the Laodiceans, the lukewarm church. And what we're seeing is a failure on the part of us as believers and really carrying out the commission that God has given to us. You know, He could have sent angels to do this job, but He chose to use us to proclaim His Word, to be a testimony for Him, to represent Him on this earth. Now, speaking of the Son of Man, when we read this here, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." And like William MacDonald said, you know, after the fall, man was not really in control of the animals. And he was saying how that snakes bite us. Animals attack men and kill them. We've heard that in recent times about various things where even animal trainers have been attacked and killed by those animals that they were training. But it's all under the control of our Lord and our God. He's in control of it all. His name, excellent name, a name that is above every name, His glory, His praise, His creation. He deserves our praise. He deserves our honor. He deserves our respect. He deserves to be called Reverend. Reverend is His name.